Well, praise the Lord, everyone. You may be seated. It's so good to see Brother and Sister McCoy again. When we were pastoring up in Wisconsin, and when we resigned our church in 1983, went over, started our mission work, Brother McCoy's father took our church, so he was raised a little bit in Wausau, Wisconsin. And we've been good friends with the McCoy family in Texas for a long, long time, and we love them so much. You have a wonderful pastor. Praise God. Amen. This coming weekend, I'm going to be sharing my testimony. I'll be sharing much, much more about the Apollo 11 rescue. And this is a great opportunity for all of you to bring out your friends so they can hear what God did for one individual. Because if he can do that for one individual, he can do that for another individual. And there's something real special about sharing a testimony, because that's what God did for you, and that's what God did for me. And no one can deny when you share what God has done for you. Praise God. I have some interesting memorabilia out in the lobby. I do go back and forth to Vietnam. I'll be going back hopefully again in January. God has done some wonderful things there through our ministry. We have a young man that is in charge of a Bible school, and he just had a premature baby, he and his wife, and unfortunately the baby just passed away a couple of days ago because they don't have the medical facilities like we have here at home to take care of little preemies like that one that was born 3 months early. The Bible school is doing well. They've asked me to help them get some doors for their bathroom. I think everyone deserves some doors for their bathroom. And so I have a blue light special this weekend. Online, this book is $20 plus $5 for shipping, but tonight and Sunday, only $10. As long as the blue light is on. And then I have another piece of memorabilia here. Some folks get online and they want to purchase something. Someone sent me an article just this, a couple days ago, I believe it was. They're auctioning off some of the memorabilia from Apollo 11, and one of the pieces that is being offered is going for over $1 million. Just think about that. So this is $2 million. Actually, it's $200. There's a little piece of the gold foil that we took off the capsule. This will help not only for you to share with your friends. You can double your money next week when you offer it. And then you could probably get $1,000 for this in July of next year because that's the 50th anniversary. But this will probably pay for one bathroom door. So if you're interested in memorabilia and you want a piece of history, that there is for you. Sunday, we are going to be sharing so much more about Apollo 11. I was 20 years old when I was involved in rescuing the astronauts. It seems like yesterday, but it's not. It's like 49 years ago and a half. But memories linger, and I really I'm thankful that God allowed me to have that opportunity. There's a lot of special events being taken place all year. All the NASA facilities are hosting events. The USS Hornet now is a museum out in San Francisco. They'll be honoring all of us that were involved in July at some time. But we're here today. This evening, we're so excited about being with you. And tonight's a forerunner. I want to talk to you about winning the lost because that's what Sunday's all about. And so I want to encourage all of you to bring out some friends, make a few phone calls, share what we're doing this weekend. It's not about me. It's not about Brother McCoy. It's not even about you. It's about your friends. It's about your family. It's about those that you can expose Jesus Christ to. And so let's really try our best to reach out to friends. Can we stand together? I want to say I'm so thankful that my wife is here. She's not always with me, but she is tonight. And my brother, can you believe he left a beautiful place in Wisconsin to move all the way down to Ava? He wanted 10 acres, and he's got 10 beautiful acres with the hills and trees all around. Now I know why he moved. And he's got two brothers that have already come down from Wisconsin and have visited him. And they said, I think I could live here. So you would just never know. We may have a lot of wolframs nearby. Praise God. If you have your Bibles, let's go to Psalm 142 and verse 4. Psalm 142, verse 4. I want to title this thought tonight, The Six Saddest Words in the Bible. The six saddest words in the Bible. Psalm 142, verse 4. I looked on my right hand and beheld, but there was no man that would know me. Refuge failed me. And here it is, the six saddest words in the Bible. No man cared for my soul. No man cared for my soul. Let's pray. Lord Jesus, we do thank you for your beautiful presence that's here. We thank you for that beautiful worship that we felt. We thank you for the McCoy family and this body of believers. We're asking you, Lord, to bless our message tonight, inspire us to do more, to reach out to our loved ones who need to come and hear the gospel. We thank you for your mercy that we're feeling right now. God, send out the hungry, send the thirsty, send those that hear the messages that we've prepared for them. In Jesus' name. And everyone say amen. Amen. God bless you. You may be seated. The six saddest words in the Bible. No man cared for my soul. The word soul appears 458 times in the Bible, and the word spirit appears 505 times in the Bible. These two words, spirit and soul, many times are used interchangeably in your Bible, and you have to examine the content of those scriptures to understand which one is being used. The biblical study of the soul and the spirit is called theological anthropology. That's a big name that you might learn in Bible college. But all of you and me were spiritual beings with a temporary human body. And sometimes we don't understand that. We feel like that what you see in the mirror is the real you. No, that's just a house. And those of you that get ripped off at creation, you get a beautiful one in heaven. Praise God. Amen. That wasn't nice, was it? But all of us, I'm getting old, so one day I'm going to have a brand new body. I'm looking forward to that. No more pain, no more aches, no more worries, no sickness. Someday we're going to all be there with the Lord if we follow his plan of salvation. Amen. So it's through our bodies that our soul live, that interacts with this physical world. And through our spirit, the spirit man, that's what interacts with the spiritual world. And the Bible said that we're all created in the image of God. That's why the spirit and the soul is so important. That is what we need to be conscious of tonight. We're talking about the soul, and we're talking about that no man cared for my soul, but we're caring people, and we want to help some other people who have a soul and a spirit that be created in the image of God so that they can live in eternity. So let's talk about that soul that Adam and Eve had and then lost. Today, we have a body, but we have an unregenerated spirit if we're not born again. That's the part that we want to help our friends receive on Sunday. Praise God. Your mother, your father, your brothers, your sister, your family, we want to help them understand the importance of getting the Spirit of God and the Bible salvation that's required to transform your life so that we can all have a better place in eternity. Amen? So our flesh is alive. It moves, it grows, it embraces, it responds to pleasure, it responds to pain. Our soul is alive. It reasons, it learns, it loves, it hates, it has emotions. But the spirit without God is unregenerated, and that's what we need to keep alive. The Bible says in 1 Thessalonians 5:23, "And the very God of peace sanctify you wholly, and I pray God your whole spirit and soul and body be preserved blameless unto the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ." Here's a sobering scripture in Matthew 16:26. It says, "For what is a man profited if he shall gain the whole world and lose his own soul? Or what shall a man give in exchange for his soul?" I tell my Vietnamese friends when I minister there, the reason why I want to obey all of the Bible, especially the book of Acts, is because they love me. Because I don't want to perish. I want to obey because this world is not my home. I'm just passing through. Amen? And on the way, I found the Lord. But there are people out there that have not yet found the Lord. So I want to talk to you a little bit about the soul and how valuable it is, so that perhaps tonight we'll get a burden to make a few phone calls, to invite a few friends out, to bring them into the house of God so they can watch these beautiful people worship and feel the presence of the Lord. Amen. We need to trust the Spirit. Amen. The Spirit's doing its work. God never sleeps. God never slumbers. He's working about this community. There are thousands of people right now, I believe, that are ready to find the Lord. We need to pray that God would allow us to find them, to have an encounter in the mall, to have an encounter in the marketplace, to have some kind of encounter in your neighborhood or your family. Amen. So that we can bring Jesus Christ to their attention, bring them to the house of the Lord so they can feel what you feel, and love what you love. So worth is determined by who made it. You might have a picture that some artist drew of Campbell soup can on your wall. And it may not be worth very much unless Andy Warhol was the one who painted it, because that would be worth quite a bit, probably more than $1 million. A building is just a building, and it's valuable by what you put into it, the construction costs and all of that. But if the building was designed by an architect named Frank Lloyd Wright, that building would be worth a whole lot more, right? Because it's valued by who made it. A baseball game program is just a piece of paper. But if the name Babe Ruth was written on it, that little piece of paper may be worth a whole lot more. Amen? Worth is determined by who made it. If that picture on your living room wall happens to be an original Rembrandt, give it to me. It's worth something. Genesis 2:7 said that the Lord God formed man of the dust of the ground, and he breathed into his nostrils the breath of life, and man became a living soul. So your worth is determined by who made you. Amen. Every single soul is valuable to God. Every lost soul. is valuable to God. Worth is also determined by what was made. Now, this book is much more valuable than the notepad that I saw out there, right? What determines worth? Amen. A Porsche is more valuable than a Volkswagen. A building is more valuable than a table or a chair. A Navy aircraft carrier is more valuable than a rowboat. You believe that? I like your baby. Thank you. A supersonic jet has more value than a crop duster. You know, God created everything. Everything that you saw coming to church. The moon, the stars, the trees, the grass. God made every single thing that you saw. But your value is worth much more than everything that I just described, because your value is what God created for His presence and His glory. It's what you are. Genesis 1:27 said, God created man in His own image. That's why you're so valuable to God. He didn't create you to be lost. He didn't create mankind to not serve Him. He created each and every one of us to discover who He is so that we can give back to Him what He'd done for us. God wants you in heaven. God wants you saved. God does not want you lost. He doesn't want members of your family to go to hell. He doesn't want your neighbors to be lost. He wants every human living being to discover who they are in Him. So you're valuable because you're made to be just like God. Worth is also determined by uniqueness, scarcity, and supply and demand. When something is in a short supply, especially if there's a demand for it, the worth goes up. When we were in a typhoon, that's like a hurricane down here, in Guam, we were without electricity for almost 2.5 months. We did have a generator for one night, and somebody stole it. But I guarantee they got about 10 times as much as I paid for it at Sam's. Why? Because there's a demand for it. Somebody needs it. The value goes up, right? Gold is more valuable than coal because there's less of it. Diamonds cost more than pearls for the same reason. Limited editions of any piece of art are worth more than a copy, right? Originals. Everybody look at your neighbor and say, "You're an original." And if there was some writing on your forehead, it would say 1/1. There's nobody just like you. Thank God. Nobody like you. You're an original, one of a kind. God made you special just for Him. Amen. If you got a twin, you're still a little bit different. If you're a triplet, the same thing goes for you. One of a kind. So our man-made version of Christianity leaves the impression sometimes that we're the one who chooses Him, but that's not even the case. The truth is God chose you. The Bible says in John 15:16, "You have not chosen me, but I've chosen you and ordained you that you should go and bring forth fruit." Amen. God is the one who approached you. I'm going to share a little of that on Sunday. I didn't go chasing after God. He come chasing after me. Amen. You're here not because you chose on your own. There was something connecting. There was something with your spirit and His spirit. There was, sure, God used people. Sure, God used the church. Sure, God used a billboard. Sure, God used an article in the paper. Sure, God uses things. But it was a spirit of Almighty God that brought you this far. It's God's presence that brought you into this kingdom. He said, "No man can come to me except the Father which has sent me draw him." You're not here on your own. You were drawn here because you're valuable, because you belong to God, because you were created in His image. God wants you. God wants your family. God wants your friends. God wants this city. God wants this world, because He made you just for Him. Your soul is valuable. Your worth is also determined by your potential, your hidden riches waiting to be discovered. Some of you don't have a lot of self-worth, but in the presence of God, you are very, very valuable in His kingdom. Everyone is valuable to God. A lot of things are valuable because they're potential. It's not there maybe right now, but there is value in the potential. That's why people buy stock. Somebody sent me an email yesterday and said, if you got any stock, get rid of it by December 1. I don't know if I believe him or not, but he said it's going down. That's not the gospel. But it got my attention. That's why I got annuities. Just throw that in. That's why people buy a baseball card of an unknown player and hoping that that guy becomes one of those special players who ends up in the Hall of Fame. That potential is worth the wait. Amen? God's looking at your potential. That's why pastors teach. That's why parents help children. They're preparing you for the future. That's why you go to school. That's why you try to get good grades. Because you're looking for what your potential might be as you grow into your adult frame of mind. Did you know that when you became a Christian, that you received all the spiritual genes that you need to be just like Jesus? That means that your soul has the potential or the capacity to be in the image of God. 1 John 3:2 said, beloved, now we are the sons of God, and it doth not yet appear what we shall be, but we know that when He shall appear, we shall be like Him, for we shall see Him as He is. I'm talking about your soul. I'm talking about your regenerated spirit. I'm talking about potential. Somebody asked me the other day what I thought about how the millennium would be. I really don't care what I think or what 10 other people think. I just want to get there. I think that we're the bride, and I believe we're going to be in the celestial city, ruling and reigning. They said, well, what's this world going to be like if it's all blown up? I don't care. I want to be up there in the celestial city. I want to be a part of the bride. I want to be just like Him. I want your friends to get into this old gospel ship. Amen? We want to be a part of it. Now, I don't know about you, that when I go shopping, the first thing that I look at is the price tag. I want to know if I'm getting a deal or not. I want to know if what I'm paying for has the value that's on that price tag. I don't buy anything unless it's on sale. They almost have to give it away before I buy it. They got a Dillard's down in Louisiana, and I used to visit some friends in Alexandria, and I would stop off at that Dillard's because everything in that store is marked down at 70%. But on Thanksgiving weekend, they add another 50% onto the 70%, and I'll go there then. And you can get a $135 shirt for about $9. And what really, you know, gets my craw is that they're still making money on that. They don't give anything away. You want to know where that Dillard's is? You just talk to me afterwards. They have a woman's side and they got a men's side. And I walk out with about $10,000 worth of items that I paid $100 for. And my trunk is full. And when I get home, my wife said, what are you going to do with all that? Wear it. The rest of my life. So Jesus paid the ultimate price. He says he's a good shepherd. He said he gave his life for the sheep. He gave his life. John said, greater love hath no man than this, than a man lay down his life for his friends. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son. Nobody ever loved you like Jesus loves you. And the Lord gives us life. That's his gift to us. And what we make of our life is our gift to him. You know, there's going to be rewards in heaven. Anybody want a few stars? You want a few medals? You want a few well done's? You know, some of you might have some trophies, but it ain't going to be nothing like if you get a well done. And there's no greater reward than being a soul winner. Do you want to go to heaven and look around and say, well, who did I bring? Who's here because I helped? That'd be awful lonely up there. Everybody else said, here's my group. And there's a choir. And here's you. I can't even sing solo. I think you all want some of those rewards. Why don't we try this weekend to bring out a few folks that need to feel the presence of the Lord? The six status words in the Bible. Psalmist said, I looked on my right hand, and behold, but there was no man that would know me. Refuge failed me. No man cared for my soul. People treat people so bad sometimes. It's when you open up your newspaper, at least once a month, there's a tragedy where a mother or a father abused their baby, and the baby died because they burped or they did something wrong. We got a cruel world today. These children traffickers, these late abortion clinics, they don't value the soul. It's hard for me to understand what happened in World War II and these concentration camps. Millions of people being executed and murdered as if they were just a piece of dirt. It's hard to read history and see what happened in Cambodia with Pol Pot. It tears you up when you see a terrorist blows up a building. Someone enters a church with a gun and kills 20 people. No value. Absolutely no understanding of what they had just done. Because God looks at every single soul is valuable. And in Genesis 4, we read, and our Lord said to Cain, where is your brother Abel? And he said, I know not. And then he said, am I my brother's keeper? Well, in some way we are. Some way we are. I doubt if my brother would have been here if I wouldn't have nagged my family for 3 or 4 years. He didn't come easy. That fish tried to get away. But I had a strong reel. And I turned them over to Jesus. When I went home with the Holy Ghost, my dad said, don't bring it home and embarrass the family here with that. Like I had the plague. Keep it out there in California. And really, didn't he say that? And every one of the family that got saved, he said the same thing. Get out of town, Jack, and don't embarrass me. There's no embarrassment in living for God. Let's just stand together. This is just prep for what you want to do tomorrow and Friday and Saturday. And it looks like the local news might help you. And we are on the radio, as Pastor McGoy said, and who knows who might have heard something on the radio. But I think that God wants you to make a phone calls, invite out a few friends. Why waste this weekend? Why waste any church service when you can invite somebody out? We're going to have a good time. And in the middle of the service, when you say, man, I wish they would have been here, it's too late. But you can do it tomorrow and the next day or the next day. Let me ask you a couple of questions in closing. Does it really matter what you believe? Does it matter what kind of oil you put into your automobile? Does it matter what size shoe you buy in the store? Does it matter what size dress you buy in the store? Well, does it matter how you've been born again? There's a lot of stuff going on out there. Some people say you're born again by just accepting the Savior. But has He accepted you? There's a lot of people that believe you just, you know, believe. Well, the devil believes. He even trembles. But is he saved? But the Bible does say, except a man be born of the water and the Spirit, he cannot enter into the kingdom of God. And if you find out what that means, I think you need to go to the book of Acts and find out how the first church started. You see this watch here? It says Omega. But I never buy a real one. I bought that in Vietnam. It's a copy. You would not have known that if I would have just kept my mouth shut. But would you rather have a copy or an original? Hallelujah. Would you like to work? This is original. I had it made there. That's why it's so ugly. But I want the real thing. And that's found in the book of Acts. And maybe some of your friends are believers, but they just, you know, they haven't received all that God wants them to have. How many want to try to bring out somebody? Amen. Would you just join me for a moment? Just come and we'll stand here. Maybe the praise team will come and sing something pretty. I think we should have some prayer just to help us. You know what I discovered? That I can't really do a whole lot without a burden. I really can't. And when I get kind of dry, I pray and say, God, would you kind of rev up the engine a little bit? Because what drives me is that burden. And if the burden's gone, it's kind of hard to witness. You know what I mean? So every once in a while I pray, God, would you renew that burden? Because what that does, it drives me. It motivates me.
It's like putting gas in the engine. Anybody here like a burden? You know, for the lost, for your family? I believe God can answer prayers. I believe if we pray and say, God, would you help me feel what you feel for the lost, I believe God would be willing to answer that prayer. Because if you see a soul like God sees a soul, he sees one of a kind, an original. He sees a potential child of God created in his image in the place that we all want to go. And God will not give up until you breathe your last breath. There's a God reaching and drawing and working overtime. Why don't you pray that God direct you in your phone call or your email or your human voice to someone who's ready? I've learned this a long time ago, that when I'm walking through a mall or I'm just, you know, doing my daily stuff, if I feel the goosebumps, you know, that God gives sometimes, I know it's not just for me. You know, we could do, oh, hallelujah, thank you, Jesus. When that happens, I know that something around me, God is working at. So I try to kind of just step back. Oh, I like the goosebumps. Thank you, Jesus. But now, where are you? What are you doing? Who do you want me to minister to? Where's that person? I kind of walk around the mall, bump into people. And if they're real nice, maybe you're the one. You'd be surprised. God can lead you to the very person in that room, that store, that neighborhood, that's ready if you ask him, if you trust him. Amen. So let's bow our head. Lord Jesus, we're having a special time at this wonderful church. It's a harvest church, and we want to see a harvest. We want to see a harvest of people that we know, the people we love, the people that are not yet ready. God, we've done our part. We've had radio interviews. We've had the television crew come out. We're trusting that someone out there, God, will hear the message and come. But just in case, God, we want to invite somebody. We want to talk to somebody. We want to email somebody. We want to call somebody. Because God loves their soul. God loves their soul. Would you just reach your hand over to the neighbor and agree right now with all the people that are here. Just reach on somebody's shoulder, or two or three are gathered together. We pray and agree. In Jesus' name, Lord. Use each and every one. Use the sinner, God. Use my brother. Use my sister. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Hallelujah. And Jesus left that 99 in the fold. And he went out looking for that one lost sheep. We want that one lost sheep to come Sunday. We want that one lost sheep to feel what you're feeling in the house of the Lord. In the house of the Lord. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you for your presence. Thank you for your spirit. Hallelujah. 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 Amen, amen, amen. Just a reminder, I'll be back Sunday. I'm going to bring my Visa machine. I think they need a bathroom door. This book is more than just a book. I would put the church stamp in it. It's a story about a lost guy who found God, who had a few exciting moments in between. And you'll loan it and say, read it, and then I'm coming to get it back. And when you get it back, you bring him to church. And then you give it to somebody else. You don't put it on a shelf. What good is that? Guy's ugly. But he's got cool flowers, doesn't he? $10. Help Bible school get some bathroom doors. And a soul gets to find Jesus. And you get it back. And you get to give it to somebody else. And somebody else. And somebody else. Until you buy another one. Let's give the Lord some praise now. Brother McCoy.
Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord.